The Lord be with you. What are you waiting for? Well, it's the holiday season, so most of us are waiting for baby Jesus. But today, does the scripture give us baby Jesus? No, it gives us earthquakes and wars and chaos and confusion. Boo. So instead, I have brought my own picture of my own baby, baby Sophia. Yay! Sophia is now 11 weeks old. And I will say, we have waited a long time for her, right? We tried for about 6 months to conceive, and then we had a miscarriage, and then we tried for about another year to conceive again, and a whole time we were holding our breath, waiting, not wanting to get too hopeful. And in that second pregnancy, there was waiting through the first trimester to share the news with folks, waiting for lab results and sonograms to make sure she was healthy. And then, of course, there was waiting through the pregnancy. And then at last, after all this waiting, Sophia is born, and at last we have what we are waiting for, which is to say, sleepless nights, endless crying, and limitless poop. I think when I imagined having a daughter, I imagined her coming at like age 7. This is not what I had imagined. And a similar feeling is what's going on in the scriptures today among God's people. You see, God's people have been waiting. They've been waiting since the time of the prophet Jeremiah, since when the Babylonians came and burned down Jerusalem and took their king into captivity. They've been waiting since 600 years before Jesus. They have been waiting for a child to be born to them. And not just any child. They've been waiting for a royal child, for a descendant of King David, the type of child that Jeremiah describes as a shoot, a branch, shooting up from the root of Jesse, King David's father. They're waiting for something to happen, like a sapling rising up out of a trunk of a tree that was cut down long ago. And they're waiting for this because God has promised them it would happen. Such a child would be born to them, and when that child is born, that child will be their king, and he will execute justice and righteousness throughout the land, and God's kingdom will be restored. The scriptures tell us that Jesus is the fulfillment of this promise. Jesus is the child that they have been waiting for. But Jesus has shown up, and Jesus has grown up, and Jesus' disciples are looking around, and they're not seeing a lot of justice and righteousness in their land. They're still seeing that their nation is occupied by a brutal military regime. They're still seeing that ethnic tensions are rocking their society, that most people can barely eke out a living. And so Jesus' disciples want to know, how much longer do we have to wait? How much longer till God's kingdom truly comes and until I can be happy? And Jesus says that day will come. That day will come when God's kingdom will rule over all the world, and there will indeed be justice and righteousness in the land. But first, there will be a lot of hardship. There will be natural disasters, and there will be wars. And Jesus says to his disciples, they've got a choice. They've got options about how they can deal with life between now and the day that they're waiting for. And the first option, option number one, Jesus says, is to live their lives with dissipation and drunkenness, weighed down by the worries of this world. Dissipation is a fancy word that means to squander. Jesus says what you can do through these hard times is you could squander your life, right? You can numb yourself, you can close your eyes, you can bury your head in the sand and hope you just sort of black out most of life until things get better. And I realize that as a father, I have that option also, right? There was a time when we were grieving the miscarriage and trying to conceive again, and I told myself, when Annalisa's finally pregnant, then I'll be happy. And then Aunt Lisa was pregnant, and we were worried, and her body was changing, and we didn't know what was going to come. And I told myself, well, when the baby's born, then I'll be happy. And now I'm finding myself saying, well, when my baby sleeps through the night, then I'll be happy. When Sophia's potty trained, then I'll be happy. When I can take her on adventures and show her Star Wars movies and read her novels and go traveling the world, then I'll be happy. Heck, when I can have just a date myself or a romantic evening with my wife, then I'll be happy. And I can choose to hold off on my happiness until that comes. I can choose to stuff down my feelings with chocolate and numb my mind with Netflix each night and just kind of close my eyes and grit my teeth and power through until that day comes. But of course, there will always be something else to wait for before I am happy. I can wait until she's able to drive herself to events, or until she's graduated and launched from the nest, until she's married and have kids of her own. I can keep waiting for all these things to be happy. And if I do, I will miss out on the entirety of life. But furthermore, Jesus tells us that if we try this strategy, we will not have strength to make it through to the end, because we will be relying solely on the strength that we have within us, and that is not enough. And so Jesus gives his disciples a second option. Option number two. Jesus says, it goes like this. Jesus says, consider the fig tree, or all the trees, really, all the ones that lose their leaves in winter. In those hard, harsh, cold winter months, the trees go through it just as we do. And Jesus tells his disciples how to get through. And it's important to say what he doesn't say, right? Jesus doesn't say, well, in the winter, just like curl up and hibernate and wake up when it's all over. No. Jesus also doesn't say, just grit your teeth and power through. No. And Jesus also doesn't say, well, just tell yourself it's warm and then it will be. No. Jesus says, look at the fig tree. Look at its barren branches that are devoid in life in the midst of winter. Stare at those branches and keep watching until at last you see just the faintest bud of green starting to poke out. For when the fig tree starts to put forth its green leaves, then you know that summer is near. It is already at hand. This is what Jesus tells his disciples, that in the midst of pain and hardship and confusion, instead of closing their eyes and burying their heads, Jesus says, stand up and raise your head and look. Look for the signs that God's kingdom is already here at hand. You see, Jesus says, yes, there will come a day when I will return upon the clouds with glory and power and majesty. There will be a day when the kingdom of God comes, when sin and death are destroyed, when everything old is made new again, when every broken relationship of hurt is turned to love, when out of death springs forth life, there will come a time when the kingdom of God rules every land and every heart. And for that day to happen, the kingdoms that we have built, the world as we know it, needs to be shaken and fall apart. And so Jesus says, when your world is shaking, when it is falling apart, when there are cracks all around you, Jesus says, stand up, raise your head, and look for the signs. Look for the signs, not that everything is going to be okay, but look for the signs of the cracks of what is not okay, that in those cracks there is new life being born. When institutions are crumbling, look for where relationships are being built. When confusion reigns, look for where that confusion is met with compassion. Where there are new hurts, look for where those hurts inspire the healing of old wounds. Look for those places where you expect only death and find the signs of life. look for the signs that the kingdom of God is here at hand now, and then hold on to those signs, because those signs are the sources of strength that will get you through to the end, because that is a strength that comes not just from you, but it comes from God. When Annalisa was pregnant and we were worried that this time would end just like the last, and her body was changing in ways that made us live life not as we used to, we marveled that her changing body could support life growing within it. In the months after the miscarriage, when we grieved, in that grief, we found an opportunity to connect in ways that are now less available to us. And to say now, when I imagine that my daughter would be able to go on adventures with me, I'd be able to show her the wonders of the world with my wife at my side, I have come to realize that that future is many long, hard nights away. It is not now. But now I have learned to look with new eyes, not for what I hope will be, but for what God has given now, for what is. This past week, Sophia, for the first time, was able to actually recognize what she is seeing in the world around her, and I have come to realize that there is wonder in holding someone who is able to lock eyes with you for the first time in their life. Yeah. To say she cries constantly, and most times I am completely confused as to why, but in that confusion I have learned to take a journey into parts of my heart filled with compassion that I never knew existed. And yes, my relationship with my wife has changed. It will never be what it was. And yet I have come to discover that the romance of a fancy restaurant on a Friday night pales in comparison to the romance of rocking my wife as she rocks our child to sleep. If you are waiting to be happy, you never will be. So don't wait, because Jesus doesn't. Jesus doesn't wait until Christmas or to the end of time to bring forth the kingdom of God in our lives. Jesus does it now. The kingdom of God is near. It is already at hand. So when your life is shaken and falling apart and broken, hear the words of Jesus. Stand up and raise your head, and then look for the signs. Look for the signs of God's kingdom in the cracks of ours. And then hold on to those signs. Say them aloud. Name them to yourself and to others. Name them in your prayers before dinner or before bed. Write them down in a journal. I invite you to try this for the season of Advent and see all the places where God's kingdom is already here. And may holding on to these signs give you strength to live in God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.